Well, good evening. I greet you in Jesus' name again this evening. Good to be with you here. And also thank the song leader, brother, for leading that song again. We come to thee. And I that is my prayer here this evening again, that we can come to Christ. Come to Christ with our questions, with our lives, and allow him to move in our lives, in my life, in your life. And so this evening, I have something I'd like to share with you, and I suppose this may be more of a Bible study than it is a message or a sermon. I hope that's okay. I have a handout, and so maybe I'll just get that started a while. I'm just going to send that back through here. Just want to take one. I think there might be enough for probably about everybody that can write to have one of those, I believe. Some of the things that prompted me to share this with you, and that handout as you're getting it, I know that looks like a bunch of, that doesn't look very well organized. I hope we can make some sense out of that till the end of the evening. But something that prompted me to share this was, I know there's some youth here tonight, and it wasn't long ago that I was a youth, and I believe somebody here last evening told me I'm middle-aged now, so I guess that's what I am. But, there was people that I sat with in services like this, and I would have never dreamed today that they would be in prison, or they would be divorced, or they'd be far from God. And so it's a sobering thought, and you can look at that and think, well, if that is reality, is these promises of God actually true? Is he able to keep us from falling? And it's sobering to think that could be me, and that could be you. That could be you in 10 years. And so I'd like to work our way through this worksheet, and I hope that it can cause us to think seriously about our lives. I think Brother Edwin there for sharing that devotional. I guess we're just going to continue on with his thoughts pretty much. So I'd like to start with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is a familiar passage of people that were making a decision. And if you look at your handout, drawn through the middle of that page is a dotted line that I had labeled the line of decision. And so one of the things that I want to think about is, of course, life is a series of decisions. And a lot of them, you don't take a lot of time to think about. They just, you remember at the end of the day, you actually made that decision in the moment. You didn't even hardly realize it was a decision. But there's other decisions that we make that we take a lot of time and think about carefully. Maybe it's the decision of a spouse, the decision to go on that first date, or a decision to move, the decision to go with the Keysville outreach, some of those decisions, or a decision of occupation. But here in Deuteronomy 30, 19, this Moses was calling the children of Israel to make a decision. And so let's just read this verse. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Let's just read verse 20 yet. "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." And so the children of Israel were presented with a very clear decision. They had to make a choice. And we're thinking this evening about choices and about decisions that we make that eventually, as you add them up one after another, they lead to a total. They lead to something. So the line of decision. Now, if you go and look above that line, On the left-hand margin of your paper, there is the idea of, there's the word light there along with 1 John 1:7. So I'd like to look at that verse in 1 John 1:7. The idea is that light is increasing as we travel towards God. Luke 1 verse 7. I'm telling you the wrong reference. It's 1 John 1 7. Okay. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So very simply, and I'm afraid this is a very simple message this evening. I hope it doesn't bore you, but very simply, if we walk in the light, God is in the light. If we seek that light, we will draw closer to God, and we will walk in a path that becomes brighter. It's a simple message of the gospel. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We fellowship one with another. Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin. And we have at the top of the page, we have God. And there's a lot of things that we struggle, at least I do, to understand God, who God is. But I chose these verses out of Jude, just back a couple pages here in your Bible. This is something that is something you put a stake down. This is who God is. This is the God of the Bible that you can serve, and many of you have decided to serve. Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So we see a couple things about God here that we know that God is characterized by glory, wisdom, majesty, honor, power. And it says, my Bible there in the margin as a explanation for some of this says he's a divine keeper. And I believe that's what this verses say, that he's able to keep you from falling. And so when we think about the path of life that we all are on and we wonder, is it possible to live this life without falling? Well, we are humans and we are tempted, but God is able to keep you from falling. And that's a promise that we can claim about God. And so you follow the top of that paper, and we come over to heaven there on the top half, and we're going to let that for now, but I'd like to go back to that line of decision and go the other way around this page. And we see there below the line of decision is increasing darkness. And I'm going to read a verse to you from John 3:19. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So increasing darkness. I don't think I'd have to work very hard to convince you that apart from God's power and his cleansing work in our lives, we gravitate towards darkness. And the earth, the people in the earth gravitate towards darkness. And sometimes it seems pretty dark out there. And at the bottom of this darkness, the very essence of darkness, we have here the devil down at the bottom of this page. And I'm going to read a verse out of John 10:10. This verse never says the devil, but I believe we can understand this. John 10:10 talks about the thief. It says the devil, the thief, cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we know that's the work of the devil. The work of God is to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. The work of the devil is to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the deceiver and the master of deception. And but let's finish this verse. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. At the end, the far end of that page, then we have hell after the line of eternity. We'll discuss those later. Now, if you come up to the line of decision, what I would like to do this evening, I know this is a little childish, but I'd like to do a connect the dot. You're familiar with that, and I have some dots here, and I have some references I'd like to look at. And so to begin with, I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 5 and just read this entire chapter. I titled this message, if you need to title, The Path of Life. And I believe Proverbs 5 traces some paths of life, and I'd like to read them, and then I'd like to trace them. So Proverbs chapter 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. So as we look at this chapter in Proverbs, I like to start it. Look at verse 7. Proverbs 5, 7 says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. You'll find a dot there at Proverbs 5, verse 7 as a starting point, a line of decision. Many of us have been there or are there that you have, we have, I have, heard good words. I've had good instruction in my life, thankfully. I'm blessed for that. And I think a lot of you are as well. You're at that place. You know, there's some people that haven't had that. But we have, and we have had to decide what we're going to do with that. So there I sit on the line of decision. There we sit. What will I do with that instruction and the teaching that I've had? And so you come down from... You go down to verse 8, go up to the dot, to Proverbs 5, verse 8 is our next point. And it says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. That's referring back to the strange woman in the preceding verses. And we're going to trace that path in a minute. But I think what we see here is that this path that Solomon exhorts us to is that we are avoiding evil. We're actually going to go the other direction. When we see it's dark down there, we're going the other way. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. And then Proverbs 5 goes on to talk about the downward spiral. But we're gonna start in again at verse 15 because you see that little break there at verse 15, if that's in your Bible, where the thought changes. And it says, Proverbs 5:15, it talks about drinking waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. And what we have here is God's plan for purity, for faithfulness in marriage. You know, the result of unfaithfulness is discontentment, not being content with my own water. But Proverbs 5:15-16 says, drink water out of your own well. Be satisfied with your marriage. Be satisfied with your life of singlehood. Be satisfied to live a pure life. Be happy in Christ. And your fountain in your life will not only have enough water for yourself, but you can be a fountain of life for others, to share to others. The fountains will be dispersed abroad, as it says there. And we come down to Proverbs 5:18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And so this teaching in the Bible from God, but written by Solomon, it shows us a path of blessing. If you want to have a happy marriage, if you want to have a life that can be blessed by God, you follow this instruction, and you'll end up in a place close to God with a faithful marriage partner, and a place that God can bless you. It's not to say you won't have your hard times, but it's a place of spiritual blessing. Now we come to the other path, and so I'd like to start again at the line of decision. Let's look at Proverbs 5, verse 14. And I'm jumping around in this proverb, this chapter a little bit. I don't know that this doesn't seem to all come in chronological order as it's written verse by verse, but Proverbs 5:14, if you look at this verse, I think it presents an interesting picture. It says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but what I think it means is it's a picture of a person with a bad heart, but he's in a good place. He's in a very good place to grow and blossom, but within himself, there's some evil there. And so you could say he's at the line of decision. He's got a lot of good teaching. He's in the congregation. He's in a safe place like the brother talked about, but maybe his heart's not there. And so we have this person. Now we come down to verse 3, Proverbs 5:3, where we have the next point where it says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So we have this, and we get the picture of this person listening to this voice. And what is portrayed here in Proverbs 5 is an evil woman. I think we could say this is listening to the voice of temptation. And the illustration is a woman, a very loose woman, and the temptations that she would offer. But the voice of temptation is something that we all deal with in various forms. But in this case, this person listens to the voice of temptation. And we come down then, you drop down to the next point at Proverbs 5:5, if you can connect those dots. And it says, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. So that you take a step downward when you follow this temptation, when you follow this evil seduction. And it's a path that's headed down to hell. And you know, this verse 6 is interesting. It says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. And I think what this means is that sometimes people that are on this path, they don't know it. Her ways are immovable. This path of temptation, this path down, people don't always realize that they're actually on a downward path. They might think that they're somewhere in the light. Her ways are immovable. Thou canst not know them. Now we drop down to Proverbs 5:12-13. It says, it's as if the person that has chosen this path at some point in their downward journey stops for a minute and thinks about some things. And they say in verse 12, how have I hated instruction? My heart despised reproof. I didn't obey the voice of my teachers. The people that instructed me, I did not listen. And they realize that's where they are. But they, you know, it seems as if they're going to continue on in this path. And I have this next point in Proverbs 5, 9, and 11. They're getting to the end of their journey. And this is the warning from this proverb. If you follow this path, verse 9 says, you will lose your honor. It will be given unto others. Life will be cruel for you. You'll also lose your wealth. You'll be in the house of strangers, and you'll live a life of servitude. And at last, it's going to lead to destruction of your own flesh. This life, it's not a good life. You're getting to a very dark place. Darkness is increasing. Now, in the proverb, the writer goes to the positive side, and we covered those verses. And so we'll come down to verse 22, where we have the next point, Proverbs 5:22. And this person, this individual that has followed the lips of a strange woman, and he didn't listen to teaching, finds himself here in verse 22, his iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And to me, this is, you've been there. You maybe have loved ones that there was a time when you could talk to them and they would listen, but there comes a point where that you can't talk to them anymore. There's nothing. They're holding with the cords of their sins. And I think that's what this is describing. They're in a very dark place. And the sad note in Proverbs 5:23, I drew a double line there where we cross into eternity. Seems to be the description here in Proverbs 5. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. This person is lost forever. His path was set, and he continued into that path. He crossed that line of eternity, and now there is no change possible. Now, if you turn with me to Proverbs 4, we'd like to trace another path. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. So we have at the line of decision. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. We know, we've traced that path. We know where it goes. It goes down. Don't go that way. So we're going to go up instead. We're going to go up to Proverbs 4, 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's just a promise for you all, a promise for that I want to claim. If you walk in the light of God's word and his life and your life, it grows brighter. It's a shining light that shineth more and more. So you're going to go into increasing light. Verse 20 to 22, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those them. Excuse me, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. This lifestyle will be one that can be healthy, and it's life-giving. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. At this point in this life, this path of life, they're far removed from evil. That's not to say this person could never fall, but they've chosen to walk in the light. And they've put the perverse lips, they've put that far behind them. They have no interest in laughing at those jokes or repeating those jokes. They don't have interest in looking at those websites. It says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 4:26, another point. And I believe what verse 26 and 27, 27 says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. This will create a life of stability. Walking in the light of God's light. Looking straight ahead. We know where we're headed. We're not looking to the right or to the left to see what else might be out there. We know where we're going. Our path is sure. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. So that's a life path that resulted in blessing. Now we're gonna look in Romans. At another path. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:21. I'd like to just read through several verses here as we trace this path from the line of decision in Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We have here people who knew God. It wasn't people that had never met God. People never had that opportunity. It was people that knew God, but they chose not to glorify him as God. They chose not to give him the place in their lives that God deserves. Rather, they were not thankful. They were vain in their imagination. They were foolish. Their hearts were foolish. And it says that their hearts grew darker. They went down into darkness. So verse 22, Romans 1, 22 and 23, you could trace that line down into some darkness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. People that were given to idolatry. I know that seems, when we think of idols, you think of that golden calf, and we think of, maybe you think of a shrine, and there's an idol there of some kind. And that's an idol, for sure. But I think if you look around in America today, you're going to see a lot of idols out there. Sometimes even the houses we live in are idols, or the cars we drive. People that worship idols. Twenty-six and 27. For this cause, I'm sorry, I think I skipped a few verses. Yeah, 24 and 25. Wherefore, so it seems like there's a step down in verse 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it's pretty clear that they took a step downward. They took a step away from God. And it says, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served a creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So one of the things these people obviously involved in immorality and also in deception. Verse 25 talks about deception. Change the truth of God into a lie. They're getting to a dark place. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Seems like there was another step down. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Romans 1, 26 and 27. We come down into Romans 1, 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we've traced that line. I just want to take a look at that line for a moment. You start at Romans 1:21. They knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. And we had in here this description of perverse lifestyles and homosexuality. And sometimes maybe you knew somebody who you never thought would have chosen a life like that. Where, how did they ever get there? And the sobering thing to think about is that they probably didn't think they would either when they were up at that line of decision and they took one step into darkness. We never thought that it was going to lead to this. And their life grew darker and darker. One wrong led to another. One perversion led to another until they came to a place where they were far from God in a very dark place. The path of life. Now I have one in Psalms 84. I'm not going to take the time to trace that this evening, I don't think. You can do that. That's a positive path of life, and that's a beautiful psalm. I like to read that psalm, but I think I'm going to try not to keep you too long tonight. So let's go to Luke 15. You know the story of the prodigal son. But we're going to take the time to look at that tonight, the prodigal son. What was his life like? Luke 15, verse 11 and 12. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And so the prodigal son was on the point of decision, the line of decision. There were two boys there. One boy, his decision was to just wait for his inheritance. But one son made up his mind, and he made his decision. He said, I'm going to have it now. And his father gave it to him. And it seems like pretty much immediately this younger son took a step down to Luke 15:13. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he left his upbringing and he went far from the things that he had been taught. He was like that man in Proverbs that despised the instruction. He went the other way. He left his upbringing behind and he went on to riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and adjoined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So it seems like this boy, this young man, his life spiraled pretty quickly. I don't know how long this was. Maybe this took a year or two. But it seems like it was just pretty much downhill. This parable here recorded, it just went downhill for this man. And he hit rock bottom in the pigsty. That's where he finally hit rock bottom. When we ended up trying to eat whatever it was that the pigs were eating. But something that is different from the rest of the paths that we traced this evening is that in verse 17, it says he came to himself. And somehow he stopped for a minute and thought about what his life was like and where he was. Why am I in a pigsty? Why am I here? What got me here? And Luke 15:18, I have a point on the line of decision because it says in verse 18 he made a decision because he thought about how his father's servants had it better than what he had it, and he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will confess. I will say I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he made a decision that day, whenever that was. And he said, I'll go to him and say, I'm not worthy to be called thy son, but just take me as your servant. If I could just be your servant, it would be better than in that place of darkness where I was. And so that's what he did. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, and we have another point in Luke 15:21. The son did what he said he would. He said he was going to go and confess, and that's just what he did. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He confessed his sin to his father. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, we have that last thought at Luke 15:24, where the lost is now found. And they were merry. The Bible says there's a lot of joy when something like this happens, when a lost person is found. They're not lost anymore because they've been found. They've made some good decisions. So at this point, you should have a few lines on your paper, probably. The path of life. And you know, if we're serious about it, if we're honest about our lives, they probably don't all just go up and up and up. It'd be nice if we could say that's my life. That's probably for most of us, they went down sometimes. We made some bad decisions. But I'd like to read this verse in Hebrews 7:25 that you see there towards the end of this page. And this verse is a promise, and this is something to think about. I imagine there's some of you who, maybe you have friends, you have loved ones that are far from God, and you just almost give up on them. Or maybe you're in this world of darkness, and you see somebody that seems to be pretty far into darkness, and you just kind of want to turn aside and go to the other side of the road and let them just stay in their darkness, because it's not a pretty picture. But there's this line at the end of the page, just as a reminder to us, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God is able to save from the uttermost to the uttermost. God can cleanse that sinner's life that's down there in darkness. He's able to save to the uttermost. Don't ever forget that. I never want to forget that. I don't want you to ever forget that. God is able to do that. But then we have this double solid line of eternity. And this is, you know, there's some people that wonder, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? How can a God that loves, as a God of love, how can he condemn somebody to a place of torment, a place of pain, and a place of an eternal death? How could a loving God ever do that? And if you look at the paths that we traced here, there is a hell, and God has allowed that. But people choose their destination. When they cross that line, their path is now sealed. God allows that. He allows us choice. He allows us to choose if we want to live a life of darkness or live a life of light. While we're still in that life, we can make some decisions. But when we cross that double solid line, that's it. That path, that trajectory is set. It is what has been. Those who choose Christ in this life can be with Christ in eternity. But those who choose to gravitate toward darkness, their decision will be sealed. So I'd like to read Luke 13 as we think about this. This is a sobering passage here. It talks about eternity. Luke 13:23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and they begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. So eternity, the line that we all will cross someday when that door is shut. You know, there's a saying I'm sure you've heard, that sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. I thought of this saying when I was studying, and so I looked it up to see who said that, who these words were attributed to, and very, very sadly, they're often attributed to a Christian evangelist who said them many times, and many people thought that he was walking in the light, and it wasn't until after he died that somebody got a couple of his cell phones, and he was actually living a life of darkness. And it's tragic, but what we have here in Luke 13 is that there's people like you and I that have been in the congregation of the righteous, people that have been in the presence of God. It says that you taught in our streets, and we ate and drunk in your presence, but Jesus didn't know them. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of God will be composed of people from all over the earth, but there's going to be people who thought they were going to be there. Maybe they thought they would be, but they were cast out. Their sin took them farther than they ever thought they would go. And last of all, we have heaven and hell, the realities of the eternity. And between heaven and hell, we don't need to turn to Luke 16. That's Lazarus, the rich man, and Lazarus. And the point out of that story was that there was the great gulf fixed. That's what the Bible says. There is a great gulf fixed. And I know today a lot of the great gulfs, like the Gulf of Mexico or the Grand Canyon, and there's a lot of ways you can figure out how to cross that. This is a gulf that is fixed, and it isn't going to be crossed. And so the line of decision is over. That there is now a great gulf there. There is no changing. There's no going back and forth. The great gulf fixed. And so this evening, my burden is that we think about our lives personally. Is it possible that you're taking a step down into darkness? Is it possible that your life is growing darker? Maybe you're sitting in the congregation of the righteous, but inside, it's dark. You know, I'm thankful that I'm here. I don't know a lot of you very well, but I feel like I'm in a bright place. I feel like I'm in the presence of men and women of God, and you're pressing towards the light. But sometimes we allow darkness in our life, and sometimes we need help. We need help to get that darkness out of our lives. We need help to find the light again. And so this evening, I'm going to give an opportunity, if you know there's darkness in your life, if you're willing, if you're serious enough, if you've counted the cost, like we talked about last night, that you're willing to leave behind the darkness, and you're determined to press toward the light, and you're even willing to make that public, I want to give a chance for that tonight. And so what I'd like to do this evening, I'd like to stand for a prayer, and I'd like to just pause for a moment. in silent prayer. Maybe we'll have a seated prayer, and I'd like to pause for a moment of silent prayer, and let's pray for those of our loved ones who are in dark places, that God would reach them. And if there's somebody here who wants help, I invite you to stand to your feet, and myself along with your ministers will try to help you. So let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your message to us. We thank you for the life of Christ. We thank you for the warnings. Lord, we know that darkness is all around us. We know that the world is dark. We know that sometimes that darkness can get close to our lives. Sometimes we allow it in our lives. But Lord, we also thank you that you're a God of light. You're a God that can light our path, can cause us to walk in a path of blessing, in a path that of purity, that can be drawn closer to you from strength to strength, Lord. But Lord, I pray this evening that if there's somebody here that's struggling with some darkness in their life and they know it's just taking them down, Lord, I pray that you would work in their heart. I pray that they would be determined to let the darkness behind and to follow the light. So Lord, as we pause in these moments, I just pray that you would speak into our lives, that your Spirit would be at work mightily. Let's pause for a moment as we pray together in our hearts. And so if God is speaking to you this evening, I invite you to just stand to your feet and acknowledge it. Lord, we continue in prayer to you, Lord. We thank you for this group of your children. We thank you for their testimony of walking in the light. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would give them strength. And Lord, I pray tonight also for our loved ones who have strayed far from you. Lord, if you would tonight touch their lives, put something in their path that would make them stop and think, something that would cause them to come to a decision again. Lord, thank you for the promise that you can save to the uttermost and that the lost can be found. And so, Lord, I pray that can be a reality for each one of us as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Could we have a verse of song? I'm sorry to spring us on the song leader. Is there a verse of song by memory we could sing? Thank you. Thank you for that song. Thank you for your attention this evening, and may God bless you. as you think about your decisions, the decisions you are going to make,